Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AI Automations podcast. Today, we have Greg Ranger with us. We have been friends, I think, since 2016 or something like that. I can't remember anymore. I lost track, but a lot of years. And he is definitely my go-to guy for everything advertising, funnel creation. And today, he's here to talk to us about how he has been transitioning his traditional sales and marketing agency and adapting that to the age of AI. So welcome, Greg, to the podcast. And I should also mention that he currently did $17.2 million in ad spend for a variety of clients in all sorts of niches like lawyers, e-commerce, real estate, accountants, SaaS, and pretty much every single industry. And you're currently spending $1 million a month in advertising for your clients. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. Thank you for the introduction, Helena. Yeah, that's correct. So just over $1 million US a month in the ad spend. 95% of that is Google Ads. So we're big on Google Ads, search within Google Ad. It's the search portion because YouTube Ads is also part of Google Ads. So there's a tiny bit of video advertising, but it's mostly, you know, search.
Search ads. Interesting, because everyone's been really deep diving into Facebook. How did you position your agency to do Google, which is kind of seen as kind of like a dinosaur now? And how is your approach different from other agencies who are doing this?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so you're right. Google Ads has been around for a very long time. So the thing with Google Ads is it's not as simple as maybe Meta Ads or other advertising platforms. So for that reason, it is still popular, but it didn't gain the popularity that, you know, a Facebook ads have or Instagram ads, just because it's a lot harder to get it right. But once you have, you know, once you know the fundamentals of Google Ads, and once you play with big budgets and, you know, you interface with some of the Google reps, you can kind of have a blueprint of what can work really well. But you're right. So, you know, there's other agencies out there that do Google Ads. So how do we kind of stand out? There's a few things. So, you know, we mastered the fundamentals. Oftentimes we take over Google Ads accounts and they forget the basics.
Let's dive into that
if you want. Yeah.
Let's dive into that in just a bit, but let's start from the beginning. So you used to work at, I think, SurveyMonkey. So what
That's
inspired,
right.
yeah, and we actually met back in those days. So it's been a great time. So what inspired you to start your own business if you do a Google search, there's hundreds of SMMA, social media and marketing agencies in every single city now. And how did you figure out how you could stand out from the crowd?
Yeah, so you're right. So started in 2016. What happened there is, long story short, there's a new CEO that came into play and our division was no longer required. So me and another 100 people got laid off roughly. So I got a good severance package. So I was kind of happy. So I had money so I could try to figure out what I wanted to do. I did try a little tech startup. Didn't quite work. So after that, I was like, oh shit, I got to make money. Money's running out. So I did SEO at first, actually. So I did search engine optimization for local clients, and that evolved into Google Ads. So I learned Google Ads on my own, and then I paid for some courses. I did some cold calling, got some clients doing cold calling to get some clients.
Yeah.
And then word of mouth eventually kicked in, did some good work for some people, and then started getting a referral business like that. And now we also have nowadays like Google Ads to get business in. And actually, at that point, we're looking to expand, so we had to put a pause on our Google Ads because we got so much business already. So we want to keep the quality high. But that's the story in a nutshell.
Right.
How it got started. Yeah.
Right. So how did you find your first couple of clients, and then what's your team size now? Like, how many people?
Yeah. So. So for finding the first clients, like I said, I did some cold calling, and then some of my friends here in Ottawa knew that I was doing Google Ads. So I got a few introductions to businesses that needed it. Mm-hmm. And from there, I did great work, and then it got more referrals. So that's kind of like the initial set of clients was like referrals, but initially actually just cold outreach, basically.
Cold outreach. That's interesting. Yeah. Do you still do cold outreach today?
No, I don't need to, luckily. But yeah, cold outreach is not fun. I think one of my most popular videos on my YouTube channel, and I have a very small YouTube channel, but my most popular video is me live cold calling on...
I watched that one. You know, just shifting the conversation a little bit to AI, now, you know, you can use tools like Instantly or Apollo to automatically reach out to customers via email. Would you have done that today if those technologies were available, or would you have stayed with cold calling as your method of cold outreach?
Yeah, I think I would have leveraged AI tools like that. And I think with cold outreach, whether it's a cold DM or cold email, you have to stand out, right? Meaning, like make the message personalized. You probably look at your inbox, you probably get a ton of, you know, direct outreach. So your headlines, you know, your subject lines have to stand out if you're doing email and the rest of it. So as long as the AI can do that, get that personalized feeling, then I think it can work for sure. I haven't done it personally, but I think it could work.
Let's talk a little bit about your cold outreach when you were calling people on the phone. What kind of success rate did you get? What did you say to them to get the calls?
So that was tough. Success rate, I only got a few clients from that. I think I only got two. One of them stuck around for a bit, and then the other one didn't. That was back in the early days. So I was calling at the time, I was calling roofing companies. Basically I got a list, I scraped a list. I think I did just Google searches, you know, roofers in my area, and got the name of the owner. I got the phone number. So I did all of that manually. And I know nowadays there's tons of scraping tools and maybe AI tools that do that. But then I gave them a call. I think I got my script, my sales script from a book called, I think it's called Fanatical Prospecting. I'm pretty sure that's the book.
Yeah.
But basically it has a script on how to break the ice when, you know, people don't know you, on how to get an appointment. So basically the goal of that initial outreach was not to sell anything on that call. It was to initiate a longer conversation to talk about their advertising.
Yeah. Yeah. That must have been nerve-wracking, like getting a lot of hangups, probably a couple of people yelling at you as well.
Yeah. So for sure. Cold calling is, you know, respect to the people that do it. It's nerve-wracking. Honestly, it's the first few after you get your nervousness out, maybe you talk to a secretary or you get someone that's not responsive, you kind of get the hang of it, but it's those first few calls throughout the day.
Sure. So once you build up enough of a client network, you didn't advertise anymore. It was just all referrals and word of mouth that continued over the past 8 years that helped you build your business then. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So started in late 2016. So has it been 8 years? Jesus, it has.
Yeah.
So for sure. So it was not all like a straight growth. You know, I kind of hit a plateau in a bit. I had, you know, some tough clients in the sense that the accounts were tough. And so what was the question?
I was saying that, basically you're like, in terms of your funnel right now, you're not really spending any money on advertising. It's all referrals and repeat clients that come back months after months.
Yeah, correct. So, the beauty of, doing Google Ads as a service is as long as, you know, you're delivering for the clients, it's a retainer. So I get paid monthly. You know, the structure of those deals has evolved over time. Before it was a small flat fee. Then it was a bigger flat fee. Now it's a flat fee per percentage of ad spend or percentage of revenue. So that makes it, you know, the incentives are more aligned. I had ads running just a few months ago. I had to stop them. The demand is too high. I'm expanding my team. Yeah. So we're hiring, another media buyer like me. And maybe another one in 6 months or 4 months. So it's pretty exciting.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Cool. From the business side, from your agency, as I was saying, how do you run ads differently and what kind of margins are you working with when you're doing this?
Yeah. So there's a few steps. So on the Google Ads side, it's really, there's a few aspects, but really having the fundamentals down of Google Ads. So proper negative keyword lists, proper bidding strategies, making sure the account has enough conversions, and having great ad copy. So like getting into the shoes of the buyers and, you know, in your Google Ads, you can have like 15 headlines and 4 descriptions. So those headlines, you know, benefit-driven headlines, having social proof in those headlines, things like that. So those are what I call the fundamentals of Google Ads. And there's all the settings, making sure you have the proper location settings, making sure you're not using the display network for your search campaigns, all that stuff. So that's one thing. It's funny, just doing the basics can get you 80% of the way there. Now, where we stand out, is we use Hirose.com. That's kind of like the secret sauce. Basically, it does. It's Alex Becker's software. It's a game changer. What this solves, what Hirose.com solves, is attribution. For the people that don't know what attribution is once you start advertising on multiple channels, maybe you got sales from organic, sales from your email list, sales from Facebook ads, sales from Google ads. It becomes tough to track where exactly your sales come from. And sometimes Facebook ads might take more credit than it should. And sometimes Google ads might take more credit than it should. So what Hirose.com does is it kind of gives you the whole path. So this client clicked on a Facebook ad, then waited 2 weeks, clicked on the Google ad, and then finally purchased. So what that means for a business owner or the clients basically is that they can know precisely where their sales are coming from so they can double down on the marketing channel that works well. Right. So by using that with our clients, it allows us to stand out. We can say that, hey, we can A, really optimize those campaigns, and B, really say like, okay, well, Google Ads is really working way better than your Facebook ads because we can see the data in Hirose. Let's double down on that. The other secret sauce is lead segmentation, and it's a little bit harder to execute, but basically is let's say you sell cars online and you provide financing, or maybe you have a car dealership. You don't sell cars online, but you have a car dealership and you provide financing. So obviously, you know, people will have different credit scores, right? There's different basically quality of clients. So maybe some people are a good fit, a bad fit, a so-so fit. So what you can do is in your CRM, assign those levels like, okay, this is a tier one lead. This is a tier two lead. This is a tier three lead, tier three being the worst. What you can do with Hirose when you integrate with your CRM and Google Ads is you can say, okay, only feed me the tier one leads so I can find that higher quality types of leads. But we call this kind of like lead segmentation, is we kind of just optimize with the best lead possible, as opposed to like a form opt-in. Let's say you get 100 form opt-in, maybe 20%, 20 of those are really good leads. Well, instead of feeding those 100 form conversions back to Google Ads, we only feed the 20 that are actually good. So basically we teach Google's AI to look only for the top quality leads. So I kind of dig. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so do you do that by doing a customer, like essentially just feeding the algorithm all of the customer list instead of the entire leads list? Or how do you determine what's a good lead, medium lead, or tier three lead?
Yeah, so basically the way it works in the back end, just for, let's say, this car dealership example, is that someone will manually assign those tier one, two conversions based on criteria, like their their credit score, you know, maybe they spoke to the lead and or their employment record, they saw that they have good monthly income. Anyways, they'll assign that manually. And then we just we feed that conversion back via Hireos back to Google Ads. So and we'll only, and so it will be tagged properly as a tier one lead and then goes through Hireos and then goes through Google Ads. So that's kind of how it works. Different businesses we run these systems for are different, but basically is, yeah, it's just filtering out and only giving the good conversions back to Google.
Wow. Okay, cool.
I know we're getting a little bit technical, so let me know if you want me to
explain
a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think like if we can, you mentioned the 80% is can be done really easily and it's just simple things that people forget. Can you kind of run through a checklist of what those things are for people who just want to start with Google Ads?
Yeah, so for Google Ads, I'd say if your budget is too small, that's kind of like a bad way to use Google Ads. What I mean by too small is typically under $100 a day is too small for Google Ads. The reason for it is simple. If you don't spend enough with Google Ads, you're not going to get enough conversion. If your ads don't have enough conversions, basically the AI can't learn what a good lead for you is. So it's in this perpetual mode where it's not getting enough data. It is getting you leads here and there, not enough to have a strong signal of what is good for you, for your business. So that's one mistake, is spending too little. So if you want to start a Google Ads with $20 a day, I just say don't bother. Wait till you can spend at least $100 a day. Now, some businesses in some areas might be able to get away with $70, $50, but I just, you know, stay on the side of caution with $100 a day. Other mistake is, you know, not using the appropriate bidding strategy. Typically, you want to use a max conversion, and then you switch to a target ROAS or target CPA. So basically, you know, the old bidding strategies were things like maximize clicks or manual CPC. You want to use the newer strategies just for a few things. The main one is that when you optimize for a conversion, you're basically telling Google's AI, here's exactly what a good conversion looks like for me, as opposed to just optimizing for a click. What that means for you is higher quality leads, and ultimately your cost per sale will go down. So that's one thing. The other thing is when you use the quote unquote advanced bidding strategies, you use more signals. So Google has what they call signals in the back end, because you know they know everything. Google Ads uses the Google Analytics they have, the audiences, the YouTube, your search history, everything. So. By using those advanced strategies, you kind of unlock access to those signals so Google Ads AI can find you better leads. So that's another item. The other item is, third item would be a negative keyword list. So some, you know, not all campaigns need them, but if you're getting into industries where the distinct, let's say a moving company versus a long distance moving company, let's say you're long distance only, or maybe you're local only. Well, you want to remove the long distance moving related keyword from your searches, so you don't pay for clicks that are irrelevant to your business. So basically, especially at the launch of a campaign, reviewing the search terms you paid for and nixing out all the bad stuff. That's another area on the checklist. I can talk for hours about this, but maybe one more is just having all the, you know, in an ad right now in Google Ads, typically you have 15 headlines, 15 spots for headlines. I think the minimum is three headlines. Make sure you fill out all 15 headlines. Make sure you fill out all four descriptions. The reason you want to do that is you want to give Google Ads as much choices as it can handle, so it can find the best combination. So if you only feed Google's AI four headlines, it has combinations, but not that much. If you feed it 15 combinations for 15 headlines, it can play around and find what the best combo is, so you can find a winner. Yeah. So that would be another one.
Okay. Well, thank you for all of those tips. So as you started off by just running this agency yourself, at what point did you pivot into getting a team And how did that change in terms of, you know, project management, getting clients and everything else that went along with running your agency?
Yeah. So we have a kind of unique evolution. So in, I think it's 2019, I got a client, I got introduced to, you know, Juan, which I consider like a business partner here in Ottawa. He runs an agency. And what the way we've done it is we've gone on, we've taken clients on together. So his agency, you know, he was a one-man show, I was a one-man show. And we kind of grew together. So under his side of the team, he's got now like a Facebook media buyer. He's got a programmer. And now I'm expanding my side with another Google Ads media buyer. So that's kind of like how we've done it. Is he was handling more the Hiro side, some of the client stuff. I handle Google Ads and some of the client stuff as well. So that's kind of like how we've evolved. Another, you know, in terms of getting clients, what's been great is that as we got more clients, we started getting referral from those existing clients. So I do a lot of white labeling. So white labeling in the agency world is another agency gives you the contract and you do the work for them. So I do a lot of white labeling for other agencies. So we have like a partner agency, Comet Ads, that refers us some work. There's also LGG Media that you know is owned by Juan. That refers me a lot of work. I mean, we go like 50-50 on the work there. So that's kind of how we grew, is getting those partners in place that refer us a lot of business.
I'm doing the same with my AI agency as well. Just white labeling it, connecting with a couple of influencers, and essentially they can tell their audience that they have created like unique AI solutions. I don't know if you've ever heard the evolution of the growth of a freelancer, if you will. So you start off as freelancer was just you, and then the next step is you get an agency where you have a team working for you, and the next step is to productize it. So essentially come up with specific distinct services that your agency does really well that you can projectize. So there's a SOP and step-by-step process that goes along with it. And then the step after that is taking that and then putting a dashboard in front of it. Then you create your own SaaS, then essentially have your own SaaS around that. So we've been talking with a couple of influencers who want to get to that projectized step. Essentially they're hiring us to get a step-by-step out. Appointment setting bots in AI, for example, are super popular. And while there's a lot of generic SaaS solutions, there is a lot of different niches can't use them because they want something specific. Example of that would be, we're currently working with like a tattoo parlor. I actually don't have any tattoos though. So the way that you place tattoos is very specific, and essentially they don't really want that person to come into their book an appointment with them if they have the wrong expectations for pricing. So while there's a lot of generic AI chatbots out there that can book appointments into their calendar, they don't have one where it's like the bot will ask that person, what kind of tattoo do you want? How big is that tattoo? Which area of the body is that tattoo on? And then give them like a rough guesstimate quote. So someone wants like a huge tattoo on their leg and then they're willing to pay $20. That's not going to work.
Of course. Yeah.
That's not going to work. Right. So it's no point for that person to waste their time to go into the store, which is what the generic SaaS solutions do.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of explaining the process here. So then after we build out that specific solution, then we can projectize it. So essentially it can be reused for other parlors as well. I just mentioned that because that's been the evolution that we are going off of, and currently we're currently in the process of shifting from an agency to more projectized services.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm in maybe a little step behind you in terms of productizing my offer. I will be working shortly on my offer. You know, mine is very Google Ads specific. So, but yeah, that's somewhere where, you know, we want to be known as the go-to agency for Google Ads. But if we can productize that offering down the line, that'd be cool. And I think with AI, I mean, it can definitely help. So,
but it's interesting because on your website, it's rangermedialab.com for anyone who's listening. You actually don't mention Google Ads even once. So I was actually kind of in, you know, can you explain that a little bit and a little bit about your marketing and how you do that?
Yeah. So I think, so that offer there's another offer that you're probably not seeing because it's just on a specific landing page. But yeah, so that offer, you know, it was for YouTube. I did YouTube ads to drive traffic. And I think it's the same video that you're seeing on the landing page. But yeah, so in a way to stand out, instead of just mentioning, oh, we do Google Ads, we're an agency, I kind of, you know, combine the mechanism. So in that video you see on the landing page, obviously I talk about having, Google Ads, but then I talk about the AI, you know, being the secret sauce. And it is like, it's not hype. It's HiROS actually makes a huge difference for our clients. We see it because we see before and after when we implement HiROS. So that's kind of like the secret sauce. And then I talk about lead segmentation. You don't necessarily need HiROS for lead segmentation, but they make it a lot easier. So that's kind of like an indirect approach, right? So the way it was set up is I had YouTube ads running to business owners, basically driving people to that video. But moving forward, once, you know, I make a hire, I'm in the process of hiring. Once I have the infrastructure in place, another employee, it's to relaunch this offer. And I think I'll have a more direct, like, hey, we do Google Ads plus this, plus conversion rate optimization, which we haven't talked about, plus email sequences, plus, AI integration with HiROS, all that fun stuff.
Sure. After speaking with a couple of my friends about the agency world, a lot of them are actually leaving the agency world because it's just becoming more and more competitive as more and more businesses are taking their media buying in-house. Have you been noticing this trend, and does that make you nervous about the future?
Yeah, I'm actually not nervous. The reason for it is I've had clients that have been with me since like for the past 5 years, some for 4 years, some 3 years. So I'm very confident that we'll keep those clients. And, you know, we got a pipeline. We got like 6 more down the pipeline coming with bigger budgets, with $250,000 to $500,000 a month. So yes, you know, you got to adapt, you know, business will always get competitive. And I think, you know, we have, you know, being a specialist, makes a lot of sense. So like we're kind of known as being Google Ads specialists, but we also do more than that. So I think I alluded to it. We do conversion rate optimization. So we'll look at the landing page, the messaging. We'll also set up the SMS automation, the email follow-up sequence. So it's, you know, I am pushing for Google Ads, pushing for the AI, but it's, we kind of get in there and handle your whole marketing funnel. So the ads, the tech, the follow-up, the messaging, like SMS, email. So basically that kind of makes us very entrenched in people's business. And there's also, you know, we select before, you know, when you start your agency, you kind of get whatever clients you can get. But after a while, you want to start getting bigger clients that can pay on time and have bigger budget. And it makes you kind of sticky. But yeah, so in terms of competition, I mean, it's part of the game. You can, you know, if you do great work and then have the right structure, right? Have the right people, the right talent, and also leverage AI. So I can talk to you about how we leverage AI if you want.
Yeah, let's shift the conversation a bit. How do you currently leverage AI in your agency, and what kind of AI services are you offering to your clients?
Got it. Yeah. So we don't do much SEO, but we do a tiny bit. So, you can just use regular ChatGPT to say like, hey, write me an SEO, like from the perspective of a dental clinic, write me an SEO article optimized for, dental crowns. And they can mm-hmm. spit out an article, right? And obviously you get the client or yourself to look at it. So SEO is like kind of like an obvious one. It's easy to churn out content. You just got to make it good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like one way, very easy. The other one I like to use is Firefly's AI. Basically, it's for those that don't know, it's kind of like an assistant AI that gets into your meetings and kind of summarizes the key points, just gets all the highlights out of that meeting, that call, and kind of integrates with Google Meet, with Zoom, etc. Mm-hmm. The reason from an agency perspective it's good is that for client, when you're doing client meeting, you get a nice summary of things you might have missed, so it's easy to send stuff back to the client and know your action items. But what I found is for interviews as well. So like I said, I've been conducting interviews for the past 3 weeks for hiring, a media buyer, a senior Google Ads media buyer. And what that does is, you're interviewing so many people, you are taking down notes, but this kind of records the whole thing, gives you the highlights. So when you're hiring people, having that that AI help you get the notes, and then you can always go back and see what they actually said. So it's very useful for the hiring process as well. Obviously, mm-hmm. you got to get the people's consent to run the AI in the background. But so that's one way. Then there's another way for actually getting client results. So basically, via Go High Level, we can hook a ChatGPT AI, and we train the AI on the client's data. But basically, we can get it to interact via chat or SMS to basically have the AI handle the SMS message or the chat messages to answer the client's questions. But then more importantly, we try to get for a lot of the businesses, it happens over the phone. So we use the AI to handle the conversation, but to drive it to get the people to call us, to call an actual live agent. So that's kind of how it's set up for most of the clients, is as a chatbot to answer questions, but to drive people to call as well. So that's been a game changer.
Right. So you're using the chatbot to basically be a appointment setter to get them on the calendar.
Correct.
Yeah. And is that a service that you're offering right now?
Yeah. So it is. Yeah. So it's very custom, because as each client has, your tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a car dealership or things like that. So it's very custom. But it is. It is something we offer for clients. And especially that, so the good thing, we tend to push it because we know it's going to make the client more money. It's going to make our performance better. So it's kind of like win-win-win.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Are there other AI services that you're offering other than the chatbots?
That's the chatbots. I mean, internally we use it. There's a lead provider called Bark.com. I forgot to mention this, but for some clients, or either for the agency, sometimes I know we did this in the past where we kind of use it to scan through the leads they're offering and identify the ones that meet our criteria, so we can actually purchase those leads and then call them. So that's kind of like so Bark.com offers leads for all sorts of industries. If you ever look for, like, let's say a plumber in your area, or whatever, they provide leads for all sorts of areas, and then you can purchase them as a business owner. You can purchase plumbing leads if you want it. Anyways, but you pay like $20 to get those leads. Well, so we use AI to kind of filter out the good leads, and then we only pay for the ones that are top notch.
Is it a tool that you're using, or is that a tool that you built internally?
That's custom, with ChatGPT. The programmer could tell you more, but I think we use Azure, an Azure instance. I know Bark has an API. So we kind of, have the API talk to Azure, the Azure instance talk to the Bark API, get all the data, and then apply the filters via ChatGPT, I think, and surface the good leads and buy them automatically, actually. So
wow, That's really interesting. That's a very unique use case for AI. There's just so many ways you can use it. And I feel like I'm still learning every single day. You know, AI is transforming really, really, really rapidly. How do you see it transform the advertising space in the future? And how do you plan to keep up with all of these changes that's coming up?
Yeah. So I think AI is, you know, we can make some gains, right? So if you adopt it early, mm-hmm. you can have an advantage over other agencies. So I think these are tools that can make us better and more efficient. One in particular that I'm excited about and is Sora, right? OpenAI mm-hmm. Sora, you know, generating videos like this with a text prompt. Specifically, you know, I see it in the future. You could just generate ads on the fly, ads that you use for YouTube, for Facebook ads, Instagram ads, TikTok, whatever. So I think it's going to make the agencies that are focused on creatives a lot more creative. They're going to be, you know, able to have more output.
Game changer for sure.
Yeah. But the prices will come down, right? So it's going to make video accessible for a lot more people, mm-hmm. which can be a good thing. It's going to force agencies that are solely doing video creatives to, mm-hmm. you know, leverage it or mm-hmm. change their business model. So I see that that's one big thing in AI for sure is the video component.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's definitely going to be a game changer in advertising. I can't wait for that to launch so I can play around with it.
Yeah. It looks really cool.
The demos definitely look really, really cool. So you mentioned that your product is very sticky. Like people get your advertising services months after month. So you kind of have that predictable revenue coming in every single month. So how do you do that with your AI services? Because a lot of times AI is just, you know, you build a chatbot, then you're done.
There's a maintenance fee, basically. It's, you know, updating it. There's a like a maintenance fee. Just making tweaks. Sometimes the client has demands. And, you know, sometimes the AI has weird responses. So it's like, you kind of handle that. But it's basically like we build it, but then we maintain it. So there's a maintenance.
Perfect. Well, do you have any tips for people who are just starting out in the advertising space and want to break into and start their own agency?
Yes. Just do it. I think Alex Hormozi kind of has some videos about this on how you would get started. But basically, I would just get a few, first few clients, do great work for free in exchange of a testimonial, mm-hmm. and then leverage those testimonials to slowly get paid clients. How would you get those initial clients? There's a few ways. You can reach out to everyone you know, kind of like, hey, I'm looking to get started. I took a course in YouTube ads, and I'd love to, you know, get a shot to help your business. So that's one way, direct outreach. Another way that I heard that can work well is do a personalized loom. So you pick 100 websites, you do a quick analysis, you do an intro of like, hey, my name is Greg. I just saw your website. I see you're running Facebook ads or Google ads, because you can know who runs Google ads. You can say, you know, I'm willing to do this for free. It's still going to be high quality work, even though it's free. I'm just looking for good feedback and if I deserve it, a good testimonial. So people starting from scratch, it's easier than ever. In terms of learning the skill, they can definitely, you know, they can get 80% of the way there with just YouTube, meaning everything's out there on YouTube. You just got to be willing to kind of learn. You can also, you know, do some paid courses. There's some great paid courses out there. So make sure that it's from obviously a reputable person. But if you want to have everything organized in a nice way, if you don't want to scour YouTube for you know, endless videos, but you just want to have a structured program, you can pay people to learn the skill, whether it's YouTube ads or Google ads or things.
Yeah, perfect. All right. As we wrap up this interview, one last question for you.
Sure.
What's next for Ranger Media Lab?
So, yeah, super excited growing the team. I'm hiring a media buyer, in the next few weeks. Probably will hire more this year. So growing the agency, kind of removing myself from the business, is going to be one of the steps in the next few years. But yeah, super exciting to see the growth and to grow with our clients.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Greg, for being on the podcast. It's great to see you
again.
Thank
you, Helena. No problem.